Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 18. The Gospel of John, chapter 18, and we'll be reading the last part of the chapter, the verses 28 through 40. John, chapter 18, the verses 28 through 40. And keep in mind, there's a little insert in your bulletins as well, which I'll be referring to concerning the structure of these verses. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. Then the Jews led Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. By now it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanness, the Jews did not enter the palace. They wanted to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and asked, "What charges are you bringing against this man?" "If he were not a criminal," they replied, "we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." "But we have no right to execute anyone," the Jews objected. This happened so that the words Jesus had spoken, indicating the kind of death he was going to die, would be fulfilled. Pilate then went back inside the palace and summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Is this your own idea?" Jesus asked. "Or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "It was your people and your chief priests who handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is truth?" Pilate asked. And with this he went out again to the Jews and said, "I find no basis for a charge against him. But it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews?" They shouted back, "No, not him. Give us Barabbas." Now Barabbas had taken part in a rebellion. Thus the reading of God's word this morning as we find it in the Gospel of John, chapter 18. As you can see from your outlines this morning, there is a three-part structure to our text. Three particular scenes laid out before us. In verses 28 through 32, Pilate goes outside of his palace to meet with the Jews. In verses 33 through 38a, Pilate goes back inside the palace to question Jesus. And in verses 38b through 40, Pilate goes outside again to speak with the Jews. There is an inside-outside structure to these verses. And the question is, why does the author structure things this particular way? Well, one reason is found in verse 28. We read in verse 28 that the Jews led Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. We read that it's early morning, and the Jews are concerned about ceremonial uncleanness. It is the time of the Passover, and Jewish laws forbid entering into a Gentile's residence or Pilate's palace during the time of ceremonial uncleanness. And so they wanted to be able to eat the Passover, we're told at the end of that verse, and the Jews did not enter, nor did they want to enter. And so Pilate, early in the morning, is forced to go outside his palace to speak to them. Ironic, isn't it, that the Jews are so concerned about ceremonial uncleanness for the Passover, while they have just brought their Passover lamb, God's Passover lamb, to Pilate to be murdered. Nevertheless, we do see an inside-outside drama in this text, and this inside-outside drama highlights the important role that Pilate plays in these verses. In our text, Pilate is the link between the Jews and Jesus. Jesus is on the inside, The Jews have already condemned him on the outside. Pilate is going back and forth because the fate of Jesus' earthly fate is held within his hands. Though we know, as we see in our text, that God is completely in control of these events. And the question before us is, what will Pilate do? Now keep in mind who Pilate is. Pontius Pilate was appointed the governor of Judea during the time that the emperor Tiberius had tensions with the Roman Senate. Tiberius decided to take a leave of absence and went off to an island. And in his place, he appointed a man named Sejanus. Sejanus was head of the emperor's guard. He was left in Rome to run the empire in his place. Sejanus did not like the Jews. During the time that he was running the empire, he ordered all Jews out of Rome, and he stated his goal to exterminate completely the Jewish nation. Pilate was his friend, and Sejanus appointed Pilate governor of Judah. But Sejanus had other desires. He wanted also to be emperor. And when Tiberius the emperor found out, he returned to Rome, had Sejanus tried and executed for his crimes. As Jesus stands before Pilate in our text, Tiberius is watching Pilate very carefully. He's watching him in terms of whether he was loyal to Sejanus. He's watching him as he treats the Jews, knowing what views Sejanus held to. And we see Pilate carefully balancing himself between the Jews and their desires, between pleasing the emperor, and between justice as he stands before the Son of God. And so in verse 29, we read that Pilate came out to the Jews and he asked them and he said, "What charges are you bringing against this man?" "If he were not a criminal," they replied, "we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." Pilate sees no threat. Pilate sees that this is something the Jews are concerned about, but not himself. He wants to push it back on them. "Judge him by your own laws." "But we have no right," they respond, "to execute anyone." How true it was what they said. In the Roman world at that time, they had no right to crucify someone, and the reason for a crucifixion was because of a challenge to the Roman Empire or to the Romans' rule. So the Jews hand him over to Pilate. And you're left, as you're reading the text, wondering, is this a picture of a weakened Jesus? Of a Jesus who is being handed over and unable to help himself as king, handed over by his own people to the Roman governor? But we read and are reminded in verse 32 that again, these events are not outside the prophecy and control of our sovereign Lord. This happened so that the words Jesus had spoken, indicating the kind of death he was going to die, would be fulfilled. In John chapter 12, verses 32 through 33, Jesus had previously told his disciples these words, "But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." He said this to show what kind of death he was going to die. Jesus had prophesied that he would be crucified. Jesus had prophesied he would be lifted up from the earth. And all these events which are taking place are within the sovereign control of our God and our Lord. Pilate goes back into the palace. He summons Jesus and he asks him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" "Is that your idea?" Jesus asked. "Or did others talk to you about me?" Verse 32 has set us up for Pilate's questioning. In verse 32, we were reminded that all these events are not outside the realm of God's sovereign control, that Jesus himself had stated and prophesied what was going to happen, and now it is being fulfilled. And now, as Pilate the governor is standing before Jesus, you would expect Pilate to be the interrogator. But it's Jesus asking Pilate the questions. It's Jesus interrogating Pilate. Are you the king of the Jews? Is that your own idea, Jesus asked? Or did others tell you this, talk to you about me? Am I a Jew? Pilate reported. It was your people and your chief priests who handed you over to me. What is it you have done? Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place. You are a king then, said Pilate. Jesus answered, you are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born. And for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Pilate has Jesus standing before him. Pilate, this governor who's playing the emperor in terms of making his decisions, showing his loyalty, who's playing the Jews, making sure that he does nothing to upset them and causes no trouble which could affect his rule and how the emperor views him. Pilate sees Jesus as standing before him in his earthly court. But as Jesus speaks to him, it is clear that Pilate is the one on trial, and Pilate is the one who is on trial, not on an earthly court, but a heavenly one. Jesus' answer, verse 36, my kingdom is not of this world. Yes, he is a king. But not a king as the Jews have accused him of. Not a king as Pilate is questioning him of. He is the King of Kings. He is the King of Heaven. His kingdom is not of this world, Pilate, this world you are so concerned about. His kingdom is the kingdom of heaven. Pilate's catching on. Well, you are a king then, verse 37. Well, you're right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Whose side is Pilate on? Isn't that what Jesus is asking? Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Does Pilate recognize Jesus? Does Pilate believe in Jesus? Does he see Jesus, the man standing before him, as the truth and the life, the only way to the Father, Jesus Christ, Son of God? Pilate answers, verse 38, what is truth? For Pilate, governor of Judea, governor of Rome, the only truth in this world is protecting himself. The only truth he knows is the Roman Empire and protecting his position. The only truth he knows is the world of practicality. What works? What's right for me? For Pilate, as he stands before the Son of God, who has just said to him, my kingdom is not of this world. There is no heavenly world. There is no God's word. There is no God's Son who has come down from heaven to save his people from their sins. That is not why he was born, even though Jesus said it. Verse 37. And because Pilate is not on the side of truth. Because truth is not upon which his life is built, only the truth of practicalities, all Pilate can do is form a compromise. This isn't justice. this isn't about the truth. For Pilate, truth is what works. Pilate, who stands between the accusers and Jesus, truth and falsehood, Pilate comes up with a compromise. He goes to the Jews, verse 38, outside again. This time he tells them, I find no basis for a charge against him. He has not broken Roman law. You've brought him to me and I find him as doing nothing wrong. But justice is not Pilate's concern. Keeping the peace, compromise, his position as a governor, pleasing the emperor, is his concern. Verse 39. But it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews? They shouted back, no, not him. Give us Barabbas. Now Barabbas had taken part in a rebellion. Instead of standing up for truth, instead of defending the innocent, Pilate stands up for what works. He offers a compromise to the Jews. He goes by public opinion. He thinks of a way that he can still please them, of a way to let them decide. I'll give you a choice. You can release, or I'll release Jesus, or I'll release another prisoner. And notice the name of the man the people choose. Barabbas. Bar, translated into English, means son. Abbas, you know how Paul tells us to pray, Abba, Father, Daddy, Father, Son of the Father, is the meaning of his name. Son of God is held in prison and to be crucified. Son of the Father is released. Barabbas, who led a rebellion. Now, some of your translations translated in terms of robber. Barabbas, who had taken part in a robbery or who was a robber. But the Greek word is richer than that. And when you combine it with what is said about Barabbas in the other Gospels, the NIV has made the decision to translate it in terms of a rebellion. Thus, what Jesus is charged with, being a king before Pilate, Jesus, who they're saying as they bring him, is a troublemaker for Judah, is a troublemaker for Pilate, who is accused of leading a rebellion, and as a king, Pilate must take care of him. This Jesus is charged. This Jesus is led away to be crucified, while Barabbas, who did all of those things, who is a man of trouble for Pilate, who would be of concern for leading a rebellion, is released. Do you see the irony in that? As we look at the three scenes, you notice that the first scene begins with irony. The Jews are concerned about being uncleaned at the Passover, while they hand the Passover lamb over to be crucified. On the outside scene, scene three, Pilate is willing to compromise, and he makes a deal, and he releases Barabbas, the one he should really be concerned about, a leader of Jewish rebellion. And on the inside, we have Pilate, who is standing trial. He thinks that the Son of God, or Jesus, is on trial, but Pilate is on trial before God's Son. And when Pilate asks, what is truth? We know what choice he has made. He has not chosen the side of truth. He is not, verse 38, listening to the side of truth and siding with the Son of God, who is the truth and the life. He decides on compromise. He decides on practicalities. He decides on what works, because his life is not built upon God and God's Word and God's Son and God's truth. His life is built upon what works, what position I want to hold, what is in it for me. The world we live in today thinks a lot like Pilate. In a world that rejects God's Son and God's Word, what is truth? Truth is found in public opinion. What do the people want? What do people think? If people think abortion is okay, it must be okay. If people think it's not okay, then it's not okay. We don't consult God's Word. Truth is found in what people are doing. If everybody's doing it, well, then it must be okay. If it feels good and people seem happy, it must be okay. Truth is found in what is right for you, what works for you, what makes you happy. Truth is found in practically what works or what makes your life easier. Not in Jesus Christ, who stands on the side of truth. You live in a culture that denies the truth. And even though you have the truth, Jesus Christ, God's Word in front of you, the Bible continues to be challenged, and the temptation for God's people as they live in this culture is to compromise. Pilate thought that as he stood in his courtroom between the Jews and Jesus and the emperor, he thought he was in an earthly courtroom. But when Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world," verse 36, when Jesus said, "You are right in saying I am a king, and for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world to testify to the truth," Jesus directed him to a greater courtroom. A courtroom not of this world, but a courtroom of the living God, where he as son, as judge, is standing before Pilate, who denies the truth. You live in the same courtroom. As you live your life, you live it before the living God. You are surrounded by a culture of compromise, of public opinion. Temptations abound because others are doing it and maybe it's okay, in a world that is not grounded in truth or in God's Son. As Pilate stood before Christ, he left saying, "What is truth?" And he sought to find it himself in compromise. What about you? You live before Christ, the living God. You have been given his truth in his Word. And Jesus said, "Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." For you, you do not say, "What is truth?" For you, your truth, your life is in Jesus Christ, the Word of God, the living Word become flesh, who has come for you. Which side do you stand on? Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for our text this morning and the structure which enables us to see the role that Pilate is playing. For as he goes inside and outside, we see a man who is forced to make a decision. Father, as we live our lives, we live before you, and we live in a world that does not love you. And Father, as we live our life and are forced to make important decisions, help us not, O God, to simply decide things because practically it's easier, or it's a way that we can resolve something, even though truth or what's right is compromised. Enable us, O God, to root our life in you and in your word, that in a world which does not believe in you and rejects truth, we may find comfort in knowing that we are on the side of truth, because our Savior has come, he has delivered us from our sins, and our life is not built in what others think, or in what makes us feel good, or what we see others doing, so it must be okay. Our life is rooted in our Savior, for we live it in your courtroom. We live it before you. Father, enable us to stand on the side of truth and not compromise for your glory, so that the world may see that our lives are in you. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.